Welcome to Dr. Fred Bell's Health, Science, and Energy Show. It's October 28th. We had our Halloween party last week. I dressed up as Steve Barish. I was Barish impersonator. And Buddy Blue dressed up as me. And that's how it went. And Mikkel was a pirate. And it turns out, I guess she was a pirate in a past life named Anne Bonny back around 1700. So how's it going? I'm trying to get the Ustream going, but Ustream once again has changed their format. It's impossible to get the show on the television today. They do this all the time. Every time I go to use it, it's some new deal, you know? And
yeah.
It won't work. And I have no idea how to make it work because it's not working.
Huh.
We're losing several hundred listeners because we can't get on the air. Anyway, you got your computer going there?
I got my computer on, but I can't get you.
Well, yeah, because I can't get it going. And
okay.
I don't know what to do. I mean, I literally don't know what to do. If somebody could call in and give me a suggestion, that would be fine, but it's just... It's so stupid. With they just can't leave it alone, and now they make it so you can't do a show here, you know?
Yeah.
Well, anyway... I told that 58 Chevy will be coming in.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I've got pictures on the front cover of all kinds of magazines. If I could
what
get
size
it on
engine? Is it a 348 with trips?
No, I wish it was. It's a 327 with 330 horsepower. I'm taking that motor out. It's beautiful. It's all. Remember, this is a show car, and it's won a lot of trophies. But
right.
And I'm taking the motor out. Anybody wants to buy a really nice 327, it's probably had 10 grand spent on it or more. Because I'm going to put a 409 in it.
You are going to put a 409 in it. In a 58.
Yeah. Huh?
In a 58?
You bet.
That's interesting. The 327 didn't come out till 62.
I know. It's
yeah.
Just a good grief. In a few minutes, you could be broadcasting live, it says here.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Log in. I can't believe that this... thing is so stupid.
Does it have a 4-speed, Fred?
3-speed with an overdrive.
Oh, that's cool.
And it has power steering and all kinds. If I can get this thing on the air, I'll go get some magazines and I'll put them up, to show everybody what it looks like. I got some magazines where it's on the front cover.
Yeah.
But I can't log in. I can't broadcast. You know, it's like, hello, Ustream. You're a bunch of goofs.
Huh.
A lot of listeners are very disappointed because they can't broadcast. Anyway. So, anyway, what's been going on this week?
Well, I've been doing a lot of massage work, but I'm doing a lot of energy work, too. And I really love it, Fred. I'm still hanging in there at 68. I'm still doing it.
Yeah, well, you should be, you know, because you'd be in a lot of trouble if you don't.
I really like it.
Yeah.
I wish I was out there with you doing something.
Yeah, you ought to be moving out here soon. You could ride your car all year round, you know?
Yeah.
That would be good.
Yeah.
Buddy Boo is really feeling good today.
Really?
Yeah, oh, God, he's really hooked up, you know?
That's cool.
Oh, Buddy Boo, hear it?
Yeah.
He sounds
great.
Yeah, he feels the energy, you know?
That's wonderful.
Boy, he's doing good.
Anyhow, I had another thing happen with the projectors today. There was a big blast of light around the projector. I have no idea what that is about.
Yeah.
I'm just not sure what it is, Fred. It's a blast of energy.
Wow.
But I'm just not sure what it does.
What's that, the projector?
Yeah, the big projector. Not the one I wear, but the big ones.
Oh, wow.
And I'm just not sure exactly what it does. I mean, it's like a blast of white light that comes through and then disappears in a matter of a second. So I'm just not sure what it does.
Yeah. Well,
just different.
Yeah, I don't know what it does. I mean, there's so much, you know, all I can say is this. It's out of control with this new stuff that we're doing, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, I have no... The Q-band project is coming along tremendously. You know, we're getting all the computer stuff done,
mm-hmm.
our console built. It's amazing. That's all I can
say.
So it's moving very fast. We couldn't get anything moving at all earlier last year, but now everything's moving in high gear, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And people are buying the heck out of the projectors and getting tremendous results and all that stuff. You know?
Yeah, yeah. Well, my projector that I'm wearing is a lot more powerful. So the things that are going on are powerful. Even the nuclear receptor is there's a lot of white light behind the projector.
Yeah.
Behind the receptor.
Yeah.
So I don't know what that's about, but that's all new stuff. So I won't be able to tell you until I, you know, be able to look at it a little closer.
Yeah. So are your clients using a lot of your clients using the receptor and projector?
A lot of my clients, I have about, I think about 10 or 11 of them that are using my receptors.
Yeah.
And those seem to be really nice. But you know, it's I have one on loan right now. I have my nuclear receptor on loan. I'm getting it back tomorrow, but the person that's wearing it loves it. So you know, they'll probably turn around and buy a silver necklace. So it'll be a lot of fun. It's if you give out something like that to, you know, to people that really want something, and they put that gold with a platinum bridge on it, boy, that just sets them, you know, it just clears everything very quickly.
Yeah. If I could get, if Ustream was working, I would show the SPDC down converter that looks like a projector, but it also has a different, has an accessory on the front that holds the crystal that lasers shoot into, and I'd love to show that to everybody, but unfortunately, Ustream, I'm shutting my computer down that does that because I want to make sure the computer's not screwing up, but Ustream has completely fried itself tonight.
Really?
Yeah, after the show, I'm going to call them up and raise hell because this is ridiculous. People, so many people watch this show. Sometimes I have up to 2,000 people watching it.
Yeah.
And I can't even broadcast it tonight, and that's where we got our big listenership.
Yeah.
They queue into BBS radio, and then they move over to Ustream so they can watch the show.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of sad that Ustream, I've never seen a company screw things up. I've had to negotiate through all kinds of technical changes over the years because I've had my show on Ustream for at least 2.5-3 years, too. I've been on BBS for almost 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
So. And now I can't even get my show on the air because they're so screwed up with the way they it won't load. It says you click the broadcast and it just runs a bunch of ads, you know. And it's like, so anyway, I'm kind of disappointed. But anyway, we'll get this thing going. And have you talked to any Andromedans? How's your Andromedan friend doing, by the way, the lady that was on the show?
Oh, she's fine. She's fine. I haven't talked to her in about a week.
What happened?
She goes all over the place, and she's, you know, she gives lectures and talks, and yeah, she's a nice lady. She's very, very sweet, and you know, she likes me for some odd reason. I don't know why, but she likes me.
Because you are a drag racer. You got racing blood. Women can't. It's actually impossible for any woman of any age to not fall in love with us on our first glance when you look at one of us because. We are racers, baby.
Yeah.
There were the cruisers. Remember, I'm sure in your time, you had the people, the low riders that ran around with their cars lowered to the ground before they before they put the, you know, the hydraulic shocks because they hadn't been invented yet, what makes them jump the front end jump off the ground.
Right, right, right.
The cruisers with the fringe and the tassel on the side of their windows and they're smoked out. And then we were the racers with our cars like... jacked up the air on major levels, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
We were the gods. You know,
right.
We were the subjects. All you cruisers out there were subject to the gods of racing, and you know that. And
yep. Well, the I had my 62409, and then I had a 60 Corvette, a 61 Corvette, 59 Corvette. My dad, you know, my dad had a new car agency, so... It wasn't Chevy. It was, what was it? Buick. But I could get all that stuff. You know, I would have all that stuff to use. And that was a lot of fun for me.
Oh, yeah. I didn't know your dad was a car agency.
Oh, yeah. He had car agencies in Philadelphia and in Rochester here. So he liked it a lot, and I loved it because I was a mechanic.
Oh, you're a mechanic.
Oh yeah.
Wow.
Oh yeah. Yeah, I did that, and he had a Triumph agency. I had an AC Bristol for 3 years.
Which became the Cobra.
57 AC Bristol.
Yeah, that became the Cobra.
That's right. And that was a nice car. Made a lot of noise, didn't go anywhere, but it was a nice car.
Banger, weren't they originally like six bangers or something?
A six-cylinder, yes.
Oh. Yeah, the AC Bristol became the, when, what's his name, discovered that. That's what he put the Ford motors in. And it was really cool.
That was a nice car.
Carroll Shelby, yeah.
Yep,
he
Carroll Shelby.
Those cars over in England and ended up bringing them over here. And I remember they had to make a suspension modification. They had to make two or three modifications to handle the horsepower.
Right.
And then they went out racing, and they were really light and everything.
Well, they blew everything off.
Oh, yeah.
The early Cobra, the 63, 64, and 65, well, 62, too, they came out with the 260, then the 289, and, of course, the 427, which was an incredible car.
Yeah.
But the 289s are what won the races. It just was really great.
Yeah, you
I used to go to Lime here. Rock. I used to go to Vineland, you know, Vineland, New Jersey, and that used to be SCCA, and Lime Rock was. Boy, those cars were just amazing.
Yeah, just I remember going, C.J. Hart, he was my buddy, you know.
Mm-hmm.
C.J. Hart started drag racing, you know, legalizing it in 1947. And he made the first drag strip out here. It was Lion's Drag Strip. And then he said,
was that it?
Yeah. You didn't know
that's
that?
That's what started it all?
Huh?
Lion's Drag Strip?
That was the first one, yeah, in Long Beach.
Wow.
And that's where I won two world championships in 65 and 66. But he started it in the 40s.
Yeah.
And Jay, he'd be out there, and we'd be racing, and he'd come out on the line, and I'd be getting climbing in my car. You know, sometimes he'd climb through the window. And, and then my friend Bob Wideline, we had a club called the Qualifiers 2.
Mm-hmm.
And Bob Wideline was a president at one time. The game Ole was president. We had some, you know, cars that was, you know, had to have parachutes to stop them. We had all kinds of cars.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And 409s and Corvettes, you know.
Heck,
I had my Z11 in those days, which is worth a fortune now. I don't
That's
have
worth
anything.
Probably $500,000, that car. A Z11, for anybody that wants to know, is a 427, excuse me, is a 427 Chevy. That came out actually in late 62.
Yeah.
They had aluminum bodies, and I think they were pushing out 550 horsepower.
Oh, easily. And it had a valley cover on it, which is where the carburetors mount on, and you can put your hand under.
Oh, it was incredible.
Actually had a valley cover that went over the valves, and then the intake manifold, which normally on a 409, the intake manifold was the valley cover, but on the Z11, it had a piece of sheet metal that was the valley cover, and then the intake manifold that was sticking way up in the air, and then two big four barrels on it.
Yeah, yeah.
And it had air cleaner, a big round. I had that air cleaner all hooked up, you know, that big round air cleaner.
Yes.
4 feet in diameter almost. It was huge because they didn't want
to. Yeah, it was gigantic. It was. It hooked
to
the. It hooked to the firewall.
They had to produce a few of those, and they had that air cleaner, and that was on there. And it was really cool.
Yeah, it was a very, very fast car.
That air cleaner alone is probably worth thousands of dollars if you ever find
it. I would think if somebody's rebuilding one.
Yeah.
But that was in the firewall. That was that air filter went right into the firewall.
Yeah, it sucked air in from the inside of the. It went into the from the inside of the car because it was cooler.
Yeah.
And you should have heard it. It sounded really weird.
Oh yeah.
Obviously, we didn't have a. Heater or air conditioning in those cars. There was none of that in there because there was extra weight. And right where the heater duct would have been is where the intake was for that big old round air cleaner.
If I remember correctly, I think the battery was in the trunk.
Yep, that's where it went.
Yep.
The battery was in the trunk and had a big long wire going back there.
Yep, but that was a fast car. That was like unbelievable.
I had one.
I know you did. You're so lucky. I don't even know how you got that car. It took a special number to even get the Z11 engine.
I got it through Borgoys and Wade. That's how I got it through them. They already had it, and then they wanted to sell it because they were going into dragsters at the time. They were done with stock-bodied cars, so I ended up with it, you know.
Right.
Actually, Vince Califano had it because he knew Borgoys and Wade, and then I got it from Vince Califano.
Right.
I think I paid $800 for the motor.
Are you kidding?
No.
Oh, my God, that engine's worth a fortune.
Oh, I know. It'd be worth $100,000 in a minute now.
At least.
It's the motor, you know, because it's so rare.
Yeah. Very, very. It's a different kind of car. The car was aluminum, or most of it. I think the front end was aluminum. You know, the fenders, the hood, the trunk, and I think the bumpers were fiberglass.
Yeah, I don't remember what the bumpers were.
Yeah, I think they were fiberglass.
There was a lot of. It wasn't very heavy, but and the damn thing, it would easily lift the left front side of the car off the ground.
Oh yeah.
That's how that worked.
Yeah, it was an incredible car. But they were all fast. The 421 Super Duty Pontiacs and the Tempest were mean. I mean, they had the 427, what was it, the 427, I think it was a Camaro. Ford came out with a Camaro. It was a double Camaro on each side.
Yeah.
And that was close to 700 horsepower.
Yeah, and these are stock motors. When we got done with them, we would blueprint them.
Yeah.
Blueprinting a motor would add another 100 horsepower.
At least, yeah.
And we used to get, what's his name, Keith Black. To blueprint them and then to put a mic on an X-ray to make sure that the crank was good and the rods were good.
Right.
The thing wouldn't blow up on you. I never blew up a motor. Ever.
Well, yeah, when they're blueprinted, they're pretty good.
Yeah.
My the engine that I have in the Cobra is blueprinted.
Yeah. Well, that gives me an extra 100 horsepower. Because you got all the tolerances right, you know?
Yeah, for sure. You know what's interesting, Fred? Just not to change the subject, but the nuclear receptor, I don't have one of the new ones, but... The nuclear receptor is firing a lot of energy, and I don't understand what's happening to it other than in the back of the necklace, there's a tremendous light that's forming in the back of the necklace into the body, and it comes right out of the back.
Yeah.
It's a pure white light, so something's changing, Fred. Something big is changing.
You know what? One of my cousins back in New York, he's a real estate developer. He's actually out of Philadelphia, but he's done a lot with some stuff with Donald Trump and that. He was the first customer to ever buy a nuclear receptor.
Really?
Cost over $50,000.
Wow.
And it was platinum, and this is back in the day, but it had a chain around it.
Mm-hmm.
A special gold and platinum chain, and then every so often on the chain was a special amount of a stone. He wanted, you know, all the different colors of the big 2-carat, 1-carat stone on the chain.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember when we built that for him, behind the neck, we had there happened to be a stone, you know, on a mount behind the neck.
Mm-hmm.
So when you wore the receptor, the center of the receptor would be centered on your chest, and this thing was at the back of the neck.
Okay.
And what it did, for his purposes, and he's an older guy, you know, he's older than me even now, it was just before 9/11 we did this. Matter of fact, he was coming out here to invest in Paradyne at the time before 9/11.
Right.
And then when 9/11 happened, he couldn't come because the airplanes were grounded, so he never came out. But he was able to communicate with people on the other side, having that special stone behind his neck.
Wow.
And went out on the breastplate. Yeah, he was able to. And he didn't believe in that.
Believe in
that stuff. But we found out he could do it. And then he found out himself when he could do it. I think his wife was on the other side. Somebody was on the other side he wanted to reach.
Right.
But he didn't tell me until after it happened.
Yeah.
And then, and that's why he wanted to invest in my company at the time, which was still growing. You know, this was back in the 9/11. So
right.
Still growing now, but I mean, you know, we were open to a, you know, a family investor. Was great. I mean, this guy was worth hundreds of millions of dollars. So a few million in the Paradigm wouldn't have hurt anything. We'd have had a few more products probably than we do now.
Right.
But he loved it. Absolutely loved having this thing, and he was able to communicate with beings on the other side. That's the first time. So then I went over to Leisure World, and Leisure World is where old people, usually fairly wealthy, live here in Orange County.
Mm-hmm.
And I went over there, started lecturing, and I hooked up the big thing at Leisure World, because these are people in their 80s, 90s, and 100s, right?
Right.
Their big thing was to communicate on the other side, and they developed a science with using computers and stuff.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah, I was shocked. I mean, it's like...
Yeah.
These people weren't messing around. They're already pretty far over the edge anyway.
Yeah.
They weren't stupid. They weren't paranoid. They knew what they were doing.
Yeah.
They were making a lot of contact on the other side, and most of them bought receptors, and they said it really enhanced that.
Yeah. I know my work enhances when I wear my nuclear receptor, and for sure the projector is just, it's just wild.
Yeah.
It's just wild. Now, something's happening with the projector, but... the light isn't as strong as it is on the nuclear receptor, but I didn't expect it would be.
Yeah.
But the energy of the projector is probably 500 times stronger than when I first got it.
Yeah, I would believe that because there's so many people using them now, you know.
Well, it's pretty incredible, Fred. It's just it's a beautiful device. I mean, the thing really, really works. And I remember having my gold one with the platinum bridge. But this platinum one, oh my goodness gracious, unbelievable.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. If I could afford to get one of the new necklaces in all platinum, I would do that, Fred, in a heartbeat.
Yeah, I would too. They're not, you know, platinum is, what, $1,800 an ounce right now? It's way
Yeah. The negotiator, I remember when you first came out with a negotiator, that was quite a piece. I mean, that was really beautiful, and I felt the energy of it. But the Ankh...
The platinum, $1,691, $1,700 bucks right now, just so you know.
Is that what it is?
Yeah. And gold is $41 right now an ounce.
Yeah.
Back when people bought... Check this out. We had people back in the 80s buying solid gold receptors.
Yeah.
They could sell them right now for the gold value, get more out of them than they paid for them.
Oh, absolutely.
That's so funny.
Absolutely. But they really work. I would hate to see them to
I've never seen one melted down. I see them go on eBay sometimes. You'll see a lot of our products on eBay now.
Yeah, yeah.
People are swapping out, and people use stuff, and then there's all kinds of things on eBay with our products. We're getting our own, you know,
right.
there now.
Well, your name's a household name with the nuclear receptors. I think it's... It's building up quite well, almost like Cartier or something of that nature.
Yeah,
so,
it is. Matter of fact, we found out that back in 95 when, what's his name, Dr. Name, but anyway, he's the number one Lefebvre, Ted Lefebvre. If you have a bird in your pet, if you have any pets and you get the Bird Talk magazine or any of the bird-oriented magazines, you'll see Ted Lefebvre's name in there because he makes bird food and all kinds of bird products.
Right.
The largest manufacturers in the United States, probably in the world, besides the world, sells worldwide. You know, seeds and special mixes and, you know, bird toys and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So he was over in Hawaii with his wife, who's a psychic on animals. If an animal dies, then you call up her, and she will tell you where it is and what's going on with it. Or if it's still alive and it has a problem, she'll go in and read its mind and tell you why this dog, cat, or bird, or whatever, any animal, she does them all, has a problem. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, I say so.
Yeah.
What we should do is probably give out some phone numbers here in case anybody wants to call in. It's 888. 815-9756. Again, 888-815-9756 and 1-530-327-9756. 7602. And that'll take you right into BBS and right into us. So anybody wants to call in, we're more than happy to talk to you and give you some good advice.
Yeah. As I sound a little distracted, I am, because I'm still trying to get this thing on the air, the Ustream.
Mm-hmm.
And it says error on page, but the page is there. I cannot believe how screwed up, Ustream is today. It's a road. You can't. You can watch other shows, but you can't watch mine because I can't get on the air.
Huh.
Isn't that weird?
Yeah, that's wild.
I hit the button, broadcast, and screen comes up that has a thing, a sign out that says webcam showdown, and that's as far as I can go. I think I can get my pop-out chat if I got that on there. No, that's disabled. There's no viewers. It's just a bad thing, What? This is such an unprofessional thing. I wish I could find something besides Ustream to do this on. Mm-hmm. There must be something else out there that's reliable, but there's nothing there because the show's not on. Amazing, huh?
Yeah.
How's your Master Crystal doing?
My Master Crystal's doing great, Fred. It's really interesting. I see so much energy. What it does, Fred, basically is that if I'm working on somebody, it'll fire energy into the area that I'm working on, or if it needs energy, if the body needs energy in another area, it will fire energy in there. And it comes through in pure white light. It comes through in different colors. But it's really amazing. I mean, it's just such a beautiful crystal. And it has tremendous compassion.
Yeah.
Just tremendous compassion. People think that we're the only ones with compassion, but there's so many other things with compassion. It's just, and it's all love.
I know. I got the Ustream on the air.
Oh, you do?
Yeah. So now, are you got your computer on?
Yes, I do.
Okay, so can you see me now?
No.
Okay.
It says off air.
No, it's on air. Try it again.
Okay.
Refresh your computer. Hit the refresh
button. Okay, hold on a second. Let me try it again.
Yeah.
Let me just hit it again here. Oh, here we go. I did refresh it, and it came on.
Yeah.
Yes, I see you.
Okay, good.
Yes, I see you.
And if the chat room works now for chat people. All right, now I'm going to go in the other room for 1 second and grab... Yeah, everybody's excited because we're on the air finally. Probably lost 100 viewers by not being on. Yeah, we got 25 coming. It's coming up, but it's okay.
Here we go. I can see you.
Yeah, Buddy Boo is being very quiet. He's a good boo. Okay, let me run
that...
magazines now. I'll show you this car because it's really exciting to have this thing.
Cool. Love to see it.
Give me 1 second. I'll be right back.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello, hi. This
Hello,
is Steve Barish.
Yeah.
How you doing?
How are you? This is Garth from New Jersey. I remember I called a couple of weeks ago.
Yes, yes. How you doing?
Yes. I'm doing well. Just wanted to call in, and I did have a question for you. Well, before I even get into my question, I would just like to say
yes.
that the receptor that
I
purchased is actually doing great. So
oh,
I just wanted
wonderful.
To give another testimony on the receptor, because the last time I believe I spoke with you and Dr. Bell, recently got it. So I was breaking
yeah.
it in.
Yeah, Fred, I've got somebody on the telephone here.
I hear him.
That's beautiful.
It.
That's a beautiful Chevy.
Yeah, go ahead. I'll show you more pictures. Let's get take care of our
yeah.
Our
so he's giving a testimonial. So yeah.
Yeah, I was just giving a testimonial on the receptor.
Yes.
For even a grade 3, like Dr. Bell had mentioned to me before, it's still a fantastic piece in terms
right.
of focus.
Mm-hmm.
And I just feel a lot, it's like a renewed energy of sorts. So
yes, I would imagine.
I wanted to call and just mention that, I'm definitely going to have to upgrade. Because I heard you talking about the platinum.
I think what I would do right now is stick with the nuclear receptor that you have. If it's working that well, that's what you want to stick with.
What kind is he got now? Is it silver one?
He's got a nuclear receptor, I believe. Is it the Ankh or is it the?
No, it was the. It's the. It was just a regular. It's not the Ankh.
The nuclear receptor. Okay, that's cool.
Yes,
but if you're getting some renewed energy with it, that's fantastic. That's wonderful.
Hey, Steve, the question I did have is, I don't know if you interpret dream. I don't even want to call it a dream because I was awake, but it was kind of interesting. A few days ago, I'm shutting off the lights, about to go to bed, and then I had a vision of a man. He had a white shirt on. The white shirt was very prominent, but I couldn't make out what who the man was or even his complexion, just that the shirt was very white.
Mm-hmm.
And then he had a dog, and the dog was black and white. And the dog came to me. I'm allergic to dogs, but it was very friendly, this dog. And I was like, wow, this is really strange, but I wasn't sleeping. I was about to just lie down and pull the covers over my head and then go in the la-la land. And then I said to myself, I said, wow, I'm going to have to look up a dream interpretation because I've never had anything like that happen to me where as I turned off the lights just as prior to going to bed that I had a vision of a man with a dog and the dog came to me very happy, like to see me like it was a long-lost friend or something. You know what I mean?
Well, the dog that you saw, it sounds like he could have been one of your spirit guides or something of that nature. I think he was probably really friendly to you, wasn't he?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
But sometimes they come that way. Wait a minute. Fred's putting on his Raiders of the Lost Ark hat here.
My Indiana Jones hat. So he won't.
He's biting his ear. Ah, that's not going to help you.
Yeah, in my ear. He has to be on the other side.
Yeah.
He could be a reincarnated pet, too, that he had in a past life. Because once they get in your aura field, because of the quantum entanglement, they always stay there,
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow,
I found that interesting. I've never had anything like that. I could have wrapped my brain around it a lot better if I was asleep, but I wasn't sleeping. I was just ready to shut my eyes and go to sleep, and I just saw it as I was, getting ready to put my head on the pillow.
You have two interpretations now, so that's good.
Yes, excellent.
It's wonderful. But if you're getting that kind of energy out of your nuclear receptor, I think that's wonderful.
Yeah.
Make sure that you wash it every day.
Make
sure that you wash it. You got to wash it.
Oh, yes. Yes, I've done that. I do it once a week. I wash it once a week.
No,
every
day. Every day,
I would do it
for about 30 seconds or so. And the reason you want to do that is because of the junk in the air.
Gotcha.
It'll clean off the necklace and it'll make you really, really great. Excuse me a second. That's a great car, Fred. That's unbelievable. Where's the picture of it?
I'll get it, man. I'm bringing it. Which receptor does he have, by the way?
What kind of receptor do you have? Nuclear?
I got the one with the garnet ruby in it. It was
And what's it made out of? What metal?
I'm not sure. Silver?
Silver? Is it silver and gold?
No, it's just all silver. It's all silver.
All silver? Great.
With a garnet ruby.
Yes.
Was it one of the real expensive ones or one of the $200?
No. It's one of the, not the one of the expensive ones. I just wanted to, see how I felt with the receptor. And then I wanted to upgrade once I got it. But, I've been feeling awesome with this stuff, so I was like, I would love to now go ahead and make the upgrades because
if you want to get there's a solid silver receptor.
Okay.
And it's around $700 or $800, but it's unbelievable.
In terms of
power, it's unbelievable.
Yeah.
Sterling silver.
Yeah, and I had one of my clients. World famous guy, not Wes Snipes, but somebody else. He bought one of the. Well, he actually was given a $160 one by another client because he bought a silver one, and So he was really happy with it, and he traveled around the world with it for about 6 months. Then he upgraded to a silver one.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he was getting, like this guy that's, you know, the guy that's on here now, he was getting tremendous results from it. And then he got the silver one, and he went through the roof. I mean, he just absolutely, he did. He went through the roof. He loved it so much. And,
yeah.
I mean, it was just really neat because some people, they don't get a lot out of the $160 one because the geometry is not there. You know what I mean? As far as it was, we don't even make those anymore. We've phased it out. We have a $350 one now that replaced it. It's a lot nicer. But the bottom line is the silver one is really where it's at if you really want to get serious or something beyond that. But the silver on men is very stimulating. It's like a little bit of seed in the body because it stimulates the adrenal glands and the cortisone. And so it's really cool. So if you upgrade yourself to a silver one, if you think you're having experiences now, you know, you'll be in the, just imagine putting a jet pack on. And I know I've worn them all. I started out with the inexpensive one because that's all we had in the beginning. You know, we didn't make anything else. And, originally, I think a receptor was sold for like $99. You know, that's what we sold them for a long time ago. And but the silver ones, I mean, when I got the silver, I mean, we never even thought we were going to do gold. And then one day somebody asked for a gold one, so we made that. But, I mean, and that was really nice. But I think the silver one, even with a gold bridge on it, is really cool. And then we have a new line now. We have the new Christos model, which hasn't even been showing yet. Which is, hey, come on. Here. Hey. Man. I'm going to put him out in the corner. He's just too loud. I mean, he's got to go around here today. He's not a very good host. Over here. Yeah. I had to put him out. He's just too wired, you know? That bird is wired. It's sunset out here. He's around me. I've got a receptor on him. Birds pick up on it, believe me.
Yeah.
They're unbelievable. But anyway, that would be a good one to go to next. And we have payment plans and stuff, too, and financing and all that. You know, we're high class now. We're like car dealers. We can finance it. Because he's going to really be hot with a projector next. I mean, wait till he gets to that.
Yeah, you know, projector is incredible.
That's an exciting path to be on, having never worn this stuff and just starting out with it. Because it was always exciting for me. It's a passion that I've had since I was like, you know, 30 years old. You know, that was a long time ago. But it seems like yesterday. And I still have the same energy. But I still have the same passion for making these things. You know what I mean? It's like some people start a business. I've had several businesses before Paradigm that were very successful, and I sold them all. This is the first time I had one for 35 years. And in a few more months, it'll be 36 years. And I have no intention of selling it. I've had people want to buy it, but it ain't for sale. I'm having too much fun. You know?
Yeah.
It's really cool. So anyhow, that's what I had to say there. Now, here, I'm going to show you some more pictures.
Yeah.
This is, it's a 327, 330 horsepower with Holly Street Avenger 570 CFM. Exhaust with ceramic coated Hedman headers, dual exhaust. Okay, so here we go again now. And how's that picture?
Let's see, I can't see.
On the screen.
No, I can't see anything on the screen but you.
I'm holding it up. Well, just wait, because it's on. I'm holding it.
Oh, there it is.
Yeah, that's the back.
That's beautiful.
And then there's one of the wheels right there.
Yeah.
There.
This 58's were a pretty car.
Yeah, and then here it is in a car show like we have here in Temecula.
Huh.
Look at the color of it, you know.
It's very, very pretty.
Plain blue. This is out of another magazine. This is a magazine called Chevy Classics. Because then it's a very famous car. And so here's a picture of the interior. A little shot. Right there. See?
That's very pretty.
Yeah, you got to get your Cobra on the air here. I mean, pictures of it and stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, I got more pictures. Oh, there's a whole big article in here. Here's another
picture. That's the interior. Yeah. That's
the guy that owns it, he's the ex-air. You know what the guy, check this car out. You know what the guy did when he was in the Air Force?
What?
He was a navigator pilot.
Right.
He owned it. He refueled SR-71s.
Really?
Yeah. That was the that was the CIA spy plane.
Yeah.
And so it's so funny because both of us, picture of the door, one of the door panels, both of us were stationed in the SAC squadron, Strategic Air Command, at Beale Air Force Base in Northern California.
Uh-huh.
That's nice.
He did a lot of work on that car.
Yeah, he's got a... He took the frame... Well, there's a picture of it here. I don't know if you saw that one or not. This thing, here it is. Right here. There's a picture of it. Well, that's not the one I want.
Did you say you bought that, Fred?
I bought it. I have the picture up right here. Look at that. There's the frame. There's the motor mounted in the frame. The frame is off and it's painted. And then they did what's called a rotisserie paint job. They took the body and put it on a rotisserie and painted it at 360 degrees.
So wow.
It's painted all over.
Yeah.
You know, in other words, the whole thing is painted. Here's a better picture.
That's beautiful.
Yeah. That's what you call frame off.
Yeah.
Right there, frame off.
Hey, did you ever see the books that I sent you on the Z-11s?
I don't think you ever sent me anything, did you?
Yeah, I sent you a bunch.
When was that?
Last year. It was all on Z-11s. Three or four magazines.
I must have them upstairs in the library. I have to go look.
Yeah, because they're really incredible.
Yeah, I better go look because...
They were rare magazines. They explained how they were made and, you know, how many they sold, and it was really amazing.
Well, you like this. Here is a... let's see here. I was just looking at the magazine here. Here's the Z-11, the same magazine. Isn't that cool?
They had a Z-11 in there too.
Oh yeah, and that was.
Was that the old Reliable?
Cedar Rapids, Iowa. Yeah, that was the Z-11 Impala. Yeah.
Yeah, that's it. That's a 63.
Yeah, and you know, look at Vince Piana owned that one. New unlettered Z-11 getting drag tires screwed on for another day. This is why I drove these things on the street. And then here they are, a Z-11, like I have.
Yep.
And they're putting the drag tires on it so they can raise it. It's probably been driven to work.
Yeah,
you know?
That's wild.
Yeah, and it's so funny.
That was an incredible car.
Yeah,
I love the way they have it. It's down in the back and up in the front.
Yeah, that's
that was
mine
a great
was.
Car.
I got pictures of mine. I don't have them right in front of me, or I'd show you. But I've got pictures of mine. I've got it here. I mean, they're in the next week. I'll get those and we'll go on the air with them. And
I would love to see that.
Yeah, this is cool stuff. I'm trying to.
Hello. Hello.
I don't guess anybody else is on right now.
Yeah.
Here's another one. Check that one out. There was another one. Don't that bring back to me? Steve and I did. That's why we're sitting.
A lot of memories. A lot of memories.
I don't have that many trophies, but I have a bunch of them, you know. Not like that guy has, but a lot. And then, of course, here's the car again.
Yeah.
I mean, it's fun to do this. Because, I mean, to get to be our age, it's kind of like being kids again when you play around with
it. When you look at that car, man, that was great.
Yeah, and I love these old Chevys. And I got a 58 because there's lots of 57s and 6s around. And I wanted a 58, and I also wanted a 62 and a 63. Here's what I did. I programmed my projector, you know, and I got that motorcycle. You know, that motorcycle that I had when I was a kid?
Yeah.
And I sold it, and I got it back 40 years later.
Yeah.
It's in the garage out there, fully restored. I've been riding it. Yeah, I've been riding it. Yeah, it's a 59 Honda CE70, or 59 Honda CE71, one of the rarest Hondas ever made. It's actually, of the street bikes that Honda made, it is the rarest.
Uh-huh.
And now it would sell upwards of $30,000 to $60,000 now, because the serial number 2.
Wow.
One ever made. Now, the only thing that outsells that in the Honda line would be one of their race bikes, you know, strictly for racing, never on the street. And the race bikes bring a quarter of $1 million and up. So you understand.
Yeah.
So it's you know, I just, it, when, and remember, I couldn't find that bike. I started looking for it back in 2001 or so, and I couldn't find it. I mean, they only made 300 of them. 200 of them were sent back to Japan because they had transmission problems. Mm-hmm. There was 100 of them left. It was only made in 1959. It was a CE-71. Mm-hmm. It was called the mystery bike, like the C-11 was.
Right.
Second one ever made. And it came. I programmed my projectors, you know, and Kel taught me to do that.
Mm-hmm.
It came back into my life. I ended up getting it back. I found it, and it was sent back to me.
That's fantastic.
I wanted a 58 Chevy, and now I have it. And
yep.
I'm not being materialistic, but I, as a hobby, you know, I have hobbies. We all have hobbies. In other words, I write books, do all kinds of things, and it's a lot of work to do all the stuff I do.
Mm-hmm.
Bottom line is, at the end of the day, I need something that makes me forget, you know, all the rest of the stuff that I do sometimes.
Sure.
So I have motorcycles and cars, and I've had them all my life. I've always collected them.
Well, that's the way to look at it, man, because, you know, we're all drag racers.
Yeah, and the bottom line was the projector brought me this 58 Chevy. You know, when I was on eBay looking for it, I didn't buy it. I found it on eBay, but I bought it off, you know, out of eBay.
Mm-hmm.
I made a deal on out of eBay, but which I oftentimes do.
Mm-hmm.
I really wanted a 58, but I was looking, when I would program it, I would look for a 62 to a 63 because they sell for less money.
Right.
I'd like to have one of those too, but I really wanted the 58 because that was the one I really liked.
Right.
The 358, that was the first year of the big block.
Yeah, it was the 348,
To be honest with you, I have a limited budget. I didn't think I could afford it. I absolutely did not think I could. The 58s go from 50,000 and up. Beyond.
Mm-hmm.
I got this one way, way below that because it was a karmic connection. I could sell it for $50,000. I would triple my money, but guess what? It's not for sale.
The
projector didn't bring it into my life to sell it. You know, I don't buy and sell cars for a living, you know?
Right.
I just don't do that. I collect them, and then I swap them, you know, when I get tired of them.
Mm-hmm. Do you still have your two Ferraris?
Yeah, I have them.
Yeah.
I don't drive them a whole lot because one of them, the Testarossa, it can't get it out of the driveway without backing it out because it scrapes on the gate. You know, we have a big gate we have a gate that has a track. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It's a gate weighs about a ton or 1,000 pounds.
Right.
And when the nose of that Ferrari gets to that gate, it scrapes on the track that holds the gate and messes up the Ferrari. I have had to rebuild. I had to put a new bunch of fiberglass on the spoiler because it got caught on the track the other day. I'm still working on it. The other Ferrari, the newer one, it clears it okay.
Mm-hmm.
So I drive that one when the weather's right, and it is fun. But most of the time, I drive other cars because these are collector cars, and you collect them. You know.
Yeah.
As Enzo Ferrari said. The biggest problem with my cars is people don't drive them enough.
Yeah.
Anyway, we got to bail out of here.
Oh, yeah.
We've gone over our time. Buddy Boo's anxious for a seed. It's, boy, this new stream of show. Yeah, at least it's working. Yeah. Anyway, I see Varun is on the air there. I couldn't even get the chat room working, but it's working now. I probably didn't get half the chat you guys sent, but anyway. So we're going to have to get off the air now. So put your phone number out there in case somebody wants to hook up with you.
Sure. 585-746-8321.
And our number is 1-800-729-2603. And everybody's been listening to the Dr. Fred Bell's Health Science and Energy Show, October 28, 2010. And we'll be back same time. Next week,
fantastic.
With a show hopefully as good as this one was. Okay, we're off the air.
Take care.